That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
All right, so whoa. We're all TDs today. We're all technical difficulties. We get in person. You heard little pitter patters of dog walks. Yeah, it'll pick up.
Hello. Winnie and Frida, our new podcast dogs. Frida's our newest podcast dog. She's never podcasted with us.
That's true. She hasn't podcasted with us. That's true. Well, everybody, let's welcome Frida to Sidework Podcast. She's our dog host, Frida Van Poplin.
That's right. She is. She's the Tijuana terror. We call her a loaf of bread with eyebrows is what she looks like. But we love her.
Guys, welcome to Sidework Podcast. I'm your host, Andrea Wallace.
And I'm Brooke Van Poplin. And again, it's so weird to be in person.
In 3 years we've podcasted in person, maybe I can count on one hand.
Yeah, that's about it. So it's, I feel like really neurodivergent. Like I feel like I don't want to make eye contact.
I was like, I'm just going to look at my computer and look down, look at the timer, but like you're right there in front of me. It's so funny.
Hey guys, I it's okay. We're forever changed.
It's so weird. My brain is different now.
Oh my God.
But you guys, before we get into it, of course, have you guys subscribed? Have you rated? Have you reviewed? Are you telling everybody? Are you telling all your friends that we're back,
yes,
baby?
My God, some of you have sent the sweetest little messages, taking time out of your busy days to say that you're pumped we're back. And I can't tell you how much that just makes my heart feel warm.
And you guys were like, something was missing in your life and it was us.
It was us. So rarely. Usually people feel great relief when I'm gone from their life.
And they're like, that was a lot is what they, I think I get.
Woofity-diff. My God. So because we podcasted 2 weeks ago, just to accommodate you having family in town, some Labor Day stuff, we took a trip. I also got sick, blah, blah, blah. We were talking about the incoming hurricane, which then turned into a hurricane. Yes. And I was on Andrea's treatment table naked.
Getting a facial. And I was just like, we got an alert, which I think is amazing that we got an alert.
Yes.
Like
yes.
That said an earthquake was coming. And then we were like, hey, what was that? And we looked and we're like, there's an earthquake.
And
like,
it said,
did
take
you feel
cover
it?
Immediately.
Well, but I couldn't tell because we were like moving around.
Yeah, I think if we'd been sitting perfectly still, it would have been, you know, because when Andrea starts, you know, doing the moves on your face, your whole body, you're just flopping around. No, just kidding. But she was like, okay, come on, get down. We got to take cover. And I was like, okay.
I was like, wrap that sheet around your chest and like, let's get under this table or in this doorway together just for a few minutes. Like. And then we were fine, but it was like a very weird, unexpected day. And like, luckily, thank goodness, like the hurricane was just a lot of rain,
happened.
No wind. Thank Christ. It was a Burning Man situation here in LA by any means.
That is worse than what the fuck is happening, you know, when we were like warned about this crazy earthquake. Yeah, Burning Man, yowzers.
I heard from our friend Jocelyn, who has a friend on the ground or in the mud, if you will. in Burning Man. Like, things are fine. Everybody's okay. I mean, you saw, like, Chris Rock, like, walked a bunch, like, 6 miles to get out and, like, hopped a ride, which is pretty hilarious and pretty great. I know someone died, which is terrible, but I think for the most part, everybody is fine. But I did hear that, like, all the porta potties are overflowing. So people are just, like, shitting, like, next to the porta potties and all the shit's getting, like, mixed in the mud and everybody's, like, walking around barefoot. Now, I already was like, everybody's getting playa foot this year for sure. And we've talked about playa foot on this podcast before. I'm pretty sure.
Yes, this is, as an esthetician, this is not the kind of mud treatment that conjures nice feelings.
No.
You know, and to me, that's what Burning Man sounds like anyways. Like a bunch of people overflow porta potties and start shitting next to him anyways.
It's a little Woodstock 94 sitch, you know? It's like a little more organized than that. I'm not a burner. To all you burners out there, we're not coming down on you. We're just, you know, it's a very interesting.
It's a choice.
Yeah.
Just like anything. It's a choice. Yeah,
for sure.
I love how you're like Woodstock 94, RIP lead singer of Smash Mouth.
Oh, did they play Woodstock 94? Or was that the 99 one? Oh, he did just die.
I'm just talking about the mid to late 90s when we were in our prime. So you tried a new place to eat? Yesterday?
Did I try a new place to eat yesterday? Yeah. I went to this place called Thunderbolt, which is in Los Angeles, obviously. It's in the Silver Lake area, and it's like really fun cocktail bar. Mm-hmm. Our friend Victoria is there a lot, making all sorts of fun concoctions with her like Amaro brands.
Oh, okay.
And doing stuff there. And then they do like gluten-free, because if you guys didn't know, I'm like leaning pretty hard gluten-free, even though you did see me go to Buca di Beppo recently. I broke for Buca di Beppo and very much felt it in my body. Body that but a couple of days after I ate all that gluten. But this place does like it's simple. It's like literally like 8 things on the menu. That's nice. It and it's all leaning southern, so they have like gluten-free like chicken biscuit sandwiches and like fried green tomato salad.
That sounds phenomenal.
It was so good. I worked 10 hours doing body work and then shoved it all in my face and went home and went to bed. It was fantastic.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had to relay, you know this nightmare. You all who are listening know this nightmare. Sean and I were headed back down the coast on Thursday. We were up in Carpinteria, where mm-hmm. we love to stay, La Conchita. Mm-hmm. And there's this place called The Nugget that's in Summerland. It's a really great old Western-themed dive
great
bar.
Great name, by the way. Oh, yeah.
Wagon wheels, like pictures of like Ronald Reagan on the wall. Like he's eating at The Nugget. that kind of stuff. But we went at a kind of odd time of day. And I will... Here, I'm going to get you a pen. Basically, we walked into a lone server, bartender, host, sort of like, you know, when you've been abandoned because you cut someone because lunch wasn't really popping.
Yeah.
And then everyone decided to show up at 2:30.
Yeah.
And we were among those people. And I was like, we walked up to the door and she was just like, I'm alone. I have no one to help me. I'm going to need a few minutes. And I was like, respect.
Yeah.
Respect.
You're like,
you know,
thank
like
you for just. Right up. Mm-hmm.
And then once she kind of got everyone situated and settled, you know, she was great or whatever. But God, that weird 90 minute pocket where the wheels can come off at the end of a lunch shift.
Jesus.
I was witnessing it. And it just feels so bad because she had the indoors. She had the outdoors. She was the bartender.
Oh, I've been there. I've done all these things.
Oh,
it's a lot, especially when you're just like, and you're just not used to that kind of pop. And then it's like crazy.
It gets so overwhelming. And you were like, oh, I'm not making any money today. And then suddenly you have $200 mm-hmm. for some reason. Mm-hmm. But I felt that, and I felt the stress. I felt the dread.
Like, can I help you? We were all water your tables for you. Like, what do you need?
I swear to God, you know, and because like once a server, always a server. I'm like, whatever I can do to assist. And you think about it too, the people who don't know and don't have eyes and don't open them and don't assess the situation. Like that's probably when places get their really bad reviews,
yeah,
you know, is if they come sure. during that weird little like Bermuda Triangle of service, which is
totally. But I think like just saying like she said out loud, like I am slammed
and I'm alone.
Please have a seat. Like I will get to you mm-hmm. if you choose to stay.
I think it's so much better to be upfront because mm-hmm. then expectations are managed. Mm-hmm. We felt bad for her.
Yeah.
You know, and like understood the situation. And but yeah, of course, she ended up being great. We like
totally.
Went to that place.
I mean, it's much better than her like coming back and like being like, I'm putting a black eye of makeup on, like we've heard of.
Taking time out.
You guys got beat up in the parking lot. That's why I haven't been. Oh my God. It's so funny. I want to go to the Nugget. That sounds great.
Very fun. Summerland and La Conchita are very charming. I've been entertaining ideas of opening up a general store.
Oh my God.
La Conchita with a one pump gas, you know, because that's weird. Anyways.
We'll do a vision board is our next podcast theme. So we'll get on. But let's jump into some headlines. Huh?
Yes, let's do it on this September the 4th, Labor Day. We're recording on actual Labor Day, you guys. Who clocks in on Labor Day?
I mean,
we do.
We all do.
And servers.
Everybody listening probably too.
Yep, 100%. Okay, this first headline, you guys sent it to me and I was like, this wins the headlines of all headlines.
Yeah, I sent it. I sent it.
Care to share the headline?
Yeah, absolutely. Woman sues Eataly Boston after she says she slipped on prosciutto and fractured her ankle.
Okay, so now this this claim is almost a year old. This was in October 7th.
Yeah, I don't know why. I just like it popped up.
Well, because I think
her court case. Yes,
exactly.
Yep.
So now that it's out there, and you know she's got her lawsuit happening. So basically, a New Hampshire couple is suing Eataly Boston after the woman said she slipped on a piece of prosciutto and fractured her ankle. So basically, the lawsuit was filed two Fridays ago, and now they can all talk about it. And then the article goes on to describe prosciutto. It says prosciutto is thinly sliced, uncooked, unsmoked, and dry cured ham.
A nice piece of prosciutto.
So the lawsuit accuses the store, the Eataly, of failing to ensure the floor was free from unnecessarily dangerous conditions by failing to adequately prevent and or remove hazards from the premises and by failing to warn the plaintiff of the dangerous conditions. Prosciutto in the wild.
Prosciutto, just like, oh my God, I like this a lot. I hope that Eataly has new signs that say like, it's like rock falling, prosciutto right. Might be falling.
Prosciutto might jump off a plate and under your foot. So at the end of the day, she only spent about $7,500 for hospital doctors and physical therapy. But of course, the lawsuit is going in for $50,000 because, you know, when you do, you got to fucking milk it. She also states she lost enjoyment of life.
Sure.
And experienced great pain and suffering from a slice of prosciutto.
Yeah, man. Those prosciuttos. Fuck banana pills. Banana pills. Prosciutto is the new banana pills. Just as funny.
Now, okay. So what would it take to prosciutto, it's not slick and greasy like a piece of salami.
I think if it sits out, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, you know, when the prosciutto's been sitting out and like the grease like rises to the top a little bit when
the cheese
plate's been out a little too long at a party. That's kind of how I think of it. Plus, like, not all prosciutto is like created equal. I think there's different fat ratios, you know, and like you said, there are different types of meat and what would destroy your life more. Would it be a capricola?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, should we get into prosciutto? Should we get into Italian cured meat? An attorney, open a law firm?
It'd be cool.
We'd be like, has a slice of capricola destroyed your life?
Not only do we work with prosciutto, other sliced meats you might have fallen on. Pancetta.
Capicola.
Mortadella.
Brazzola.
Salami.
Coppa.
Speck.
Quincali.
Lardo.
We cover it all. If you're owed money and have
call us right now at 1-800 sliced meats.
Yeah.
Boy. We're working on it.
All right. Maybe we'll do that and turn it into a TikTok.
The law firm will be right next to the general store. Don't worry, guys.
Don't worry. But that is truly amazing.
So maybe you just have to start wearing some non-slip shoes when you go to certain places, you know? It's also a good advertisement for non-slip shoes,
you know, but like life is just, you know, going the way you think it's going to go. And then next thing you know, a piece of prosciutto ruins and destroys your enjoyment of life when it's meant to bring happiness.
It really is.
I hope this woman wins.
She
really
was totally in barricade that she fell down. Oh, okay. Like, you get what I'm trying to say, right?
Yeah. That squirrel out the window just gave us a thumbs down.
Oh boy. Okay. Oh boy. I wanted to make a spec joke too. Let's continue with the next headline. Take it away, Brooke.
Oh gosh. All right. So you guys, autumn is here. And speaking of, you know, wipeouts, we just wanted to share with you that speaking of fall and wipeouts, the newest craze entering the pumpkin spice arena are now pumpkin spice scented butt wipes.
Oh my God. Dude wipes. Dumpkin spice.
Dumpkin spice is what they're called. So basically, you know, if you cannot, like, if you're that person who's like, pumpkin spice everything, any way I can get it into all my holes all season long, it's not enough to just pour it down my gullet. You all get excited. You can get in on the dumpkin spice craze. So with the clove, nutmeg, and other fall shit scented butt
warming
wipe
spices, which is exactly what you want right on your butthole for sure.
I really, really like this. So yeah, Dude Wipes. This is a brand called Dude Wipes. And they were like, fuck it. You know, people will probably buy these just as a joke.
I mean, it has 609 reviews with 4.8 stars on Amazon. I'm looking right now.
Wow.
Because you can get 3 packs of 144 for $14.99 that you can just, you know, flush right down your toilet, which you're not supposed to do, but most people are probably doing. Yeah, I mean, look, I'm a tushy girl. I don't need that, you know.
Here's an idea, okay, right? We don't need to clog up our plumbing, and let's just use, okay, hear me out, right? You hook your tushy up, mm-hmm. which is your, what are they called? Oh my God, what is wrong with me?
Well, your tushy to your toilet, to your toilet line. What do you took your tushy? What are you talking about?
What are they called?
Bidets.
Oh, bidets. Sorry. I'm like, okay. It's because you called them a tushy and that's what I, okay.
Yeah, right.
So hear me out, everybody. Mm-hmm. Let's go one further than the dumpkin spice. Okay. Mm-hmm. Get yourself a bidet and hook the line up to an actual pumpkin spice latte. To a pumpkin spice latte.
And then you can enema yourself because you know how you can kind of enema yourself with your tushy. You can kind of like clean it, the water in your butthole. We've talked about this before. Howard Stern talks about it actually.
Oh, that's great.
So like, yeah, I mean, you can give yourself a little coffee enema, a little coffee warming enema. Spice enema. Totally fine. Totally good. My only issue with this is like, as we're talking, I'm like looking at the ingredients and they're okay, but I'm just
as the resident esthetician, she's got some notes.
Well, true. Cause if it's like, there's something just called fragrance on something, we know that that's pretty much chemicals and bad. It looks okay, but I don't know, man, it sounds like headache city. And like, I get it. I mean, there's a lot of ladies out there that might be like, his balls smell just like pumpkin spice. I'm so in love with them, you know?
Well, here's a fun fact, you guys. If this makes you feel old, the entire PSL, pumpkin spice latte season, it is 20 years old as of this year.
Come on.
I feel old and I blame Starbucks.
You want to feel old? I have a fucking nephew that's turned 21 years old.
Oh, that's old.
So that is a lot too. And that's all right.
That's
okay.
Cuckoo town.
So they're doing a lot of 20th anniversary pumpkin spice latte rollouts. I guess, I guess wiping your asshole with something pumpkin spice is, you know, just put a 2 and then a butthole next to it.
There we go. I like that. I like that. And those are our hard-hitting headlines for y'all today.
Oh, my God.
That's what we got.
That's what we got. Well, let's get out of that dirt hole. And let's get into some server
stories.
Okay, you guys, first server submitted story. This one, like, I feel like this is like a Dear Abby kind
it
of.
It is.
So, Dear Brooke and Andrea.
And I encourage more of it.
Hi, guys. Love the podcast. I'm slowly making my way through the episodes, so forgive me if you've addressed this kind of thing before. I'm just feeling a bit stuck lately and could use some advice. I'm going to try and not be super long-winded here, but I'm feeling very lost lately and unsure, and I thought maybe you guys could share some wisdom. Earlier this year, I got laid off. It wasn't an amazing job or anything, but they paid me really well to just sit on my ass. It allowed me to a nice work-life balance, but I worked alone almost daily. Hmm. It was the first job I got after moving to LA, and it kind of arrested my development.
Oh my
here.
God, I can relate. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I'm usually, you know, I usually build my social life through the workplace, and I just couldn't do that with this job. So since leaving that job, I got a new one that pays a lot less an hour, makes me work much harder, and overall just makes me feel really miserable. The people I work with are also kind of miserable and mean, and I'm trying to find a way out, especially because my girlfriend has to cover me on groceries and bills pretty much since I started the job, which sucks. Nobody likes to feel like that. I felt like a restaurant job would be the right answer for me, but as I've been on the job hunt, I've been holding myself back from submitting those applications for a handful of reasons. I guess I'll just list those. LMAO. One, the horror stories I've heard.
Where would you have heard those?
Yeah, where would you hear the horror stories? I don't understand either. I'm pretty positive I'd still feel at least semi-miserable, but I'm more so afraid about what that will make me feel about myself. Okay. Two, my girlfriend has a remote job and was able to fly home last year for the holidays. I spent Christmas alone, which was okay, but a little sad. Getting a job at a restaurant feels like a guarantee that I'll be alone and working through every upcoming holiday. As lame as it is, it's really bumming me out. All right. I guess those are just two reasons. LOL. I feel dumb holding on to these applications, but I've willingly decided not to make more money. Also, I'm getting kicked off my dad's insurance in like 3 months at my current job. I can't even copay to see the dentist.
Damn,
Jesus.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm realizing that a better job isn't within reach for me right now. No skills or degree. If I can just say something kind of heavy for a podcast email, I'm having a hard time seeing a future where I'm happy. Yeah. Well, yeah. All right. Still, I've always wanted to try bartending. So, you know, maybe I'm being dramatic, but I'm going to apply for some bar back jobs near me after I send this out. But I guess I'm just hoping that maybe you guys can offer some thoughts or feelings you might have if maybe you've been in a place like this before. I absolutely failed in not being long-winded. Of course, I don't expect you guys to reply to this. You're not therapists or anything, LOL. But I feel like you're suited for a question like this. Thank you for your time and for the podcast, Dakota. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. This is a lot.
It is a lot. We'll take it piece by piece here.
I would say, number one, your happiness is what is most important, no matter what, Dakota. I would say, number two, I think a lot of opportunity comes out of being in the service industry because you are moving all the time. It's a weird part of misery. And if you feel like you're in a weird, miserable part of your life, I don't know how old you are. Are you in your Saturn return? Are things fucked up?
Ooh, she sounds close to her Saturn
return.
Are you
young? Like, you know, like I feel like being around people who maybe have the same feelings as you or people you can relate to that aren't miserable is a good thing, you know? We always talk about the fast-paced service industry, kind of like checking boxes to kind of like make us happy in our ADHD brains and people who have to work as a team to like, you know, get to the end result is like really positive, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, I know we put that video up a few weeks ago talking about the golden handcuffs and burnout. And we literally said some of the things that people regret is having tons and tons of restaurant experience on their resume, but no quote unquote real world experience. Well, that can be problematic if you get in and stay for 10 years and didn't want to.
Sure.
You know, but a few years of doing that, the nice thing about restaurant work is you can do it as little or as much as you want and still do other things if you're willing to kick some ass. So you could be doing other things in tandem to keep filling out your resume with experience while you're making cold hard cash.
Yeah. If you decide
at a restaurant,
you want to get a degree somewhere sometime, it is certainly a job that you can have part time to help to bring in the money where you're not expected to work 40 hours a week and be miserable. It's very flex.
And let me say this, anytime you go to start, even if it's your first time serving or you're a veteran starting in a new place, you're going to feel like a turd. Mm-hmm. You're going to feel kind of scared and timid. We've have an episode called Training Day where we talk about the trail shift and how you feel really stupid and small and you're trying to get everyone to like you, but you're not really being yourself. Just know that that's going to happen and it's going to be a little learning curve until you feel good maybe after about a week being there. Yeah. And then it gets really comfortable and fun.
Yeah, it gets better. People, I mean, I feel like the camaraderie is much easier at a restaurant with like coworkers. It's just, it's a different feel. Like it's not as stuffy. It's not as like, yeah, that's, and you know, when it comes to working holidays, I swear to God, you'll get holidays off. It'll be fine. I used to be like work like 2 out of 3. So it'd be like, if I take, you know, Christmas off, I'd always work like Thanksgiving and New Year's, you know, you just kind of have to pick and choose. And like some restaurants, like, and depending on, actually this year, Christmas is like the way it falls. It's like, oh, I don't think that matters in restaurant terms, but like it's on a weird weekend where it's like things might be closed anyway, you know?
Yeah, who knows?
But I mean, if you're thinking about it, dip your toes in. Even if it was like you keep the shitty job that you have and you like bar back 2 nights a week until you figure out you like it, maybe that's something that could happen.
Exactly. And it sounds like you could use a little extra cash in hand.
Yeah.
And to get out of your sort of like confined space and add the social element, and
totally,
hopefully you can make friends at the, I mean, listen, Andrea and I met in improv class and then started waiting tables together. Mm-hmm. We have over 20 year long relationships with people that we all worked in bars and restaurants with. Mm-hmm. And it's very real, you know, it's a very real thing. It's also okay to go do your job and walk away from it, but you got to be friendly while you're there.
Yep.
You got to be cool and friendly. And, you know, we've talked about all these areas, but like, if you don't want to take work home with you, it's totally possible to do that in the restaurant industry.
Yeah, you just have weight mirrors until you die. nothing can help that. But Dakota, we wish you well. You know, update us, please. If, you know, if you start bar backing, if you get a job like serving, like, let us know.
Let us know. And also, just so you know, like, once again, I'm looking at a job situation where I don't, you know, even with the weird experience I have, I'm stuck between being a television host and a TV writer, with my only other experience being working in restaurants. Mm-hmm. And our whole industry is shut down for everything that I've spent 20 years trying to do. And so I am sitting here looking at like, what kind of food service job to generate income could I do? And it's okay to have your list of what I will do and what I will not, where I kind of feel like I want to go work in a city 15 minutes away from where I live, because I like, it sounds stuck up, but I don't want to wait on my peers.
Sure.
I do not want to wait on my peers if I'm going to do
in
that.
Pasadena, baby.
And exactly. So I was just thinking of working a city over where I can feel anonymous. No one knows me. And like, and you can have your absolutes of like, I don't want to work in like a 2 a.m. bar anymore. I just don't, you know?
No.
I'm just at a place where that's also off the table. So it's okay to have your will and won't, and then go for it with the restaurants you have narrowed it down to.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Take care of yourself.
All right, let's head into our next story.
This is a fun one. Okay, all right. So this is, again, from Melissa. She gave us a nice little gift of multiple stories this time. So we're just going to do one of them. All right. This happened at my last restaurant in Santa Monica. It was a small neighborhood joint with a great food and casual vibes. There was this beautiful wood fire oven at the back of the dining room and a 4-seat bar along the front of that oven. So whoever was working that station could chat with guests if they chose. The actual bar ran perpendicular so that along the length of the dining room. It was March of this year when we were getting an unprecedented amount of rain in Southern California. Oh, do we remember? Mm-hmm. I had noticed a leak in the ceiling that I had told the owner about. Leaks were nothing new in this place. It's an old building in Los Angeles. Nothing is sealed or insulated properly. There was a heating cooling duct secured to the exposed ceiling. Like, I can picture this kind of place, like kind of being that industrial look. So the leak I had noticed was coming through one of the screw holes. The water was seeping around the screw that's holding the duct to the ceiling. The duct hung directly above one of the seats at the counter. Oh, God. All right. On this relatively slow night at 7:30 p.m., I was over chatting with the hostess when I hear my coworker shout my name. I turn around to see him standing in what is essentially warrior pose, holding the duct and the man who was sitting below it, who was now holding his head. The duct had fallen from the ceiling and landed on a customer's head. So I immediately moved the guy and his friend over to the bar, have the bartender chat with them while I call the owner. This bartender has a great calming demeanor and is really good at talking to people. So I knew that this person was in good hands. I offered the guy some ice for his head and he says he didn't need it because he had a titanium plate in his head. What are the odds? The other servers started to stack wine boxes to hold the duct up off the counter. The sous chef and I stepped out back to get on the phone with the owner, who was in Park City snowboarding. Shared. Rolling eyes. Mm-hmm. I was asking him what I could do for these guys. Obviously, we were going to comp the entire check, but more needed to be done in this specific situation. He said we should give each of them a $150 gift card and then duct tape the duct back to the ceiling. Is that what duct tape is for?
I know,
for
duct holding tape, ducts? I thought duct tape was like invented like during Vietnam to like hold people's insides out.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Fun fact. All right. So to duct tape the duct back to the ceiling and continue running services as if nothing happened. I said, I wasn't comfortable doing that. And the sous chef said no one on staff would be doing that and continued to argue with and yell at the owner over the phone. I went back inside to talk to the guy and the rest of the staff. We called all the rest of our reservations and we told them not to come in. We significantly discounted the guest checks that were in the vicinity of the fallen duct. I gave the guy the owner's email and took his email to give to the owner. We were all stunned by how nonchalant the owner was about this whole situation. We were all traumatized because this man could have died or been grievously injured. Or one of us could have been under that duct. Our handyman reattached it to the ceiling the following morning, but we didn't use those seats for a few days just to be safe. Almost exactly 1 week later, we find out why the owner was so unbothered. He announced he was closing the restaurant for personal reasons. Oh, man. I don't know if that guy ever took legal action, but I no longer work for that owner and never will again. Trauma bonding is real in restaurant work, and I'm still very close with those coworkers, Melissa.
Oh, man.
In Dakota, right there. You're missing some trauma bonds in your life,
right,
girl.
For sure. That's a whole debacle. That's a real prosciutto slip of a story.
That is, yep. That is a little more serious, I think. Like, this guy had a $50,000 lawsuit on his hands easily. But I mean, maybe you're just more chill in general when you've got a titanium plate in your head.
Yeah. I mean, you'd be like, you know, yeah, ding. You're like, thank God I couldn't really do anything. I just imagine that guy, like, you know, like ramming his head into all sorts of things just to like test out the plate, you know.
Have you guys, as listeners, have you had your restaurant fall apart and harm customers or you and your coworkers? We want to hear about that because that's crazy. That is a situation when you figure out real quick what kind of scumbag the owner is, for sure. In New York City, our friend Julia, she was in a pizza parlor, mm-hmm. and one of the tiles, she was sitting at a table, and one of the tiles of the ceiling buckled and a rat fell out of it onto the table, and then the rat scurried out the door, and everyone was like, wow, they were like, dude, the rat just fell out of the ceiling, and like the owner of the pizza shop was like, that's New York. And when you're in New York, you're allowed to say that.
Yes.
That's accepted. When a rat falls out of your ceiling, that's New York, everybody.
It's totally true. I just want to do a little correction here that the first material called duct tape was long strips of plain non-adhesive cotton duct cloth used to make shoes stronger for decoration on clothing over wrapping steel cables from electrical conduits to protect them from corrosion wear. And then it just evolved. Then it was used in the war because it was like it could fix things really easy because they invented the one that you can just tear and like without cutting scissors.
Right, right, right.
So that I think I was thinking more super glue, not duct tape for like getting wounds. But I think both worked for like, you know.
But guys, well, when we do our upcoming series on Vietnam, we'll definitely or the Vietnam War. We'll be sure to get all those.
Side work talks about being in the shit in a different way. Oh my God. Oh my God.
Do you think the Burning Man people, that this is their nom right now?
It's very possible. It's very possible. I keep losing pens, Brooke.
Stop shoving them at your butthole. Do I need to go get you a Dumpkin wipe?
Maybe. I found it. I found the pen. Well, you guys, you know, if you have a server submitted story, please, you know, send it our way. We would like to hear from you, whether you need advice, whether you have advice for us, whether you just have something fun to say, whether you have something awful to say, funny.
Like your restaurant fell apart and harmed you or customers. We want to hear about it. So send us those emails, sideworkpod@gmail.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Let's do it. Let's get into it.
All right, you guys, our topic of the day. And again, one of those funny ones that I cannot believe has not come up until almost episode 200 of us doing this. And Andrea's like, what about substitutions?
I'm like,
that should have been
came
in the
to
top
me in a dream, Brooke.
Should have been in like the top 10 most notorious things that you deal with as a restaurant worker.
I think we talked about like annoying customers or like what the kitchen won't do or will do, but we've never like really honed in specifically on substitutions, which are the bane of a lot of people's existence.
They really are. And they've become a more contentious, you know, sort of situation that customers and restaurants are both facing at the same time. We're at this really wild crossroads where even someone like Andrea is like, can I have that gluten free?
Yeah.
But now we've got restaurants that are like, go fuck yourself. Well, no substitutions.
Look, if it says I have to pay an extra $5 for a gluten free bun, I'll do it, you know?
So let's start out, because we do have, you know, listeners who do not work in the service industry. Mm-hmm. They are here to learn and be better humans. Mm-hmm. So let's start out with Andrea. What is a substitution in a restaurant?
Okay. So a substitution is when you like order a burger and it says it comes with fries and you're like, can I have onion rings instead of that? Or you order a chicken with lemon butter sauce and you say like, can I have like the cream sauce that comes on that pasta on my chicken instead of the lemon butter sauce, which is worse.
Yes. And then those seem fairly innocuous. And then the substitutions start to get wilder from there. Out of control. Hence, it's a delicate and tough dance between the customers always right, between communicating with your server and then the server going to get screamed at by the kitchen.
Correct.
So it is this, everyone, okay, what are, they do it for me all the time at this other place, which is what people love.
Or they've done it for me here before.
And right. And so it's a situation where if you don't have your entire team on the same page, you can start to really confuse and anger customers.
Correct.
But it's just a big miscommunication all around until you streamline what is your policy about substitutions. And so that kind of brings us
on the menu. Yes.
Right. And I think we're seeing more people just start to come out and write it in the fine print like it's, you know, legal, like a legally binding contract. If it's written on the menu, you got to follow it. But so basically, you know, now, a substitution is not the same, in my mind, as leaving something off. What are your feelings?
I agree with that. I do agree with that. Like, but there's certain things you just can't leave off. If it's like a main ingredient of like a sauce or like what's happening, you can't just do that. You can't just like create a whole new fucking
dish. Then that becomes a substitution.
Right.
If it can't easily be. So for me, I can't have walnuts. So therefore, I couldn't actually have this one salad because the walnuts were fine diced up. It was like mise en place with the other ingredients that go with the situation.
Right. But allergies are a whole nother situation.
And then allergies get to be honored.
Exactly. It's a lot, but I would lots of respect that a lot of restaurants these days, the first thing they do ask you when they come to the table is, do we have allergies today? And that is fantastic.
And I appreciate it because they probably had someone, choke on that almond butter.
That is not what we're talking about.
It's not what we're talking about. We're back to substitutions, but you can see the slippery slope that substitutions cause. All right. So what are the kind of places as a restaurant worker, whether you're back of house, front of house, or you're a customer experiencing it? I have worked at the yes, you can have whatever you want. The customer is always right place. And those are bad.
Yeah.
Those are bad. And it breaks people's souls. I think as a server and as a cook, like everyone comes in with a job that they're trying to do efficiently. And unfortunately, I think these places can cater to a real specific kind of customer that come in and I know you have a menu, but I'm just going to come in and pretend you're a grocery store and you're my personal chef.
Or I'd be like, you know, it sounds good to me today. If you guys can whip me up, I would like an omelet, but I don't want anything in my omelet. And I would like to have on the side, I can't even go on. I'm annoying myself.
You're annoying yourself.
It gets too much. This is like too much. And when you've let like, you know, you've let the loonies like run.
The asylum. Mm-hmm. The lunatics are running the asylum at this point. And it really can fuck up your food cost too, because they're doing like pick and choose items from each dish where the portion and the food cost has been rolled into the price you're paying. And now, so you're either going to charge them so much that they're furious at you,
right,
or you're going to be fucking yourself over.
Well, and what you're also doing is you're fucking up your times in the kitchen.
Well, that is
with all the substitutions. Yes. Like a menu is a flow. Like everyone knows what, how to cook and what to cook. And like some things come in, sure. But like if you're substituting left and right, you're going to fuck up ticket times. Like people are going to be pissed off and or they don't know where their food is. I mean, have you ever rung in a ticket where you like immediately like run to the kitchen, apologize before you get it?
Oh.
And what should just be like a burger and fries is now like a Walgreens receipt. It's so long.
CVS. CVS receipts. Talk about. And we see those. So like on all of the social media platforms, all the best memes are the ones that are a whole page of sub this, sub that. And it's this is the yes, the customer is always right place, because then at the bottom, then the, you know, then the server goes into the open note and is like, fuck me, I'm sorry, fuck this person.
Yeah.
That's like,
I'm really sorry, just do this, please. I owe you a drink later.
Please,
I'll buy you a beer.
But you as a server, you are sitting there nodding and you're like, I'm about to get my ass kicked by back of house because of you.
Totally.
You know,
like I am fine with a menu that's like sub this, sub this, sub this, here's your cost, and everybody agrees to it. Like sub, you know, like onion rings for french fries, sweet potato fries, a salad, this, this, that, like sub all that. But it's like when people are like, well, I don't want any of these, like did you see the one that was like, I read one that was like, yeah, I don't want a baked potato with my steak, so can I just get extra steak?
Oh my God.
Can I just substitute more steak?
And this is okay, all you keto freaks. But this is like, this is when customers don't understand that steak is a completely different price point than a fucking potato.
Right.
You can order two steaks.
Yeah, can I just get more steak? I'm very confused why I can't.
Right.
But then we've got like the complete opposite of the spectrum where you see on the menu, like absolutely no substitutions will be made.
Oh, yeah. I call these new joints the fuck you grow up places, which they come off pretty hostile. And either you're kind of into it where you're like, yeah, daddy, tell me I'm stupid for wanting that, you know? And then you get the customers who wander in not knowing what they've wandered into.
Right.
And it can get really combative. But there's this place here in Los Angeles called Father's Office. Mm-hmm. Have you eaten there?
I have.
The burgers are great.
Amazing.
So they are known for no substitutions, no ketchup, or they will fucking kill you. Also, no reservations. So they're just straight up like, no, no, no. This is what we do. Mm-hmm. Love it or leave it.
We put bacon on your burger and we're not taking it off.
If you don't like pork, if you're, you know, you can take it off yourself. If you don't want it, give it to someone else. But this is what we make. And so, of course, this is the kind of place that makes its way onto like mommy chat groups where, you know, moms always feel the most persecuted when they can't, you know, make the million substitutions or whatever. And then it's tough because you have to be like, well, then this place kind of, it isn't for you. Let the people who love it.
Totally.
Love it, you know? But it's a contentious spot because I'm more of that mid-range. I like the, yes, we can do that, but it'll cost you place, which is what we were
instead of the place. It's like, about. I'm allergic to walnuts. And then someone says to you, maybe you shouldn't be here then.
Right.
Which is this place in New York City. That,
exactly.
Like, yeah, Kenny Chopin's Diner in New York City on the Lower East Side. You have to play by his rules. It says, so you ask for a substitution, you'll likely find yourself on the curb.
Right.
Yeah. Some people tell me that they're deathly allergic to something and I have to make sure and say, maybe this isn't entirely, you know, the kind of place for you. And I kick them out.
I mean, so we do not agree with this. Like, that is nuts. As people who, like life happens, and a food allergy is not you being picky. It's fucking DNA and nature. Yeah. And you're like, I love everything about here, but all, and, you know, and to tell someone that if they have a food allergy that they just need to go packing, like, I think he says, though, he really, instead of making the dish that they want that might have the allergen, he really steers the servers to just suggest everything else.
And I think that that is the way to go, for sure. Right. And say, like, no, we can't do this, but how about we do this instead and we come to some compromise, because, like, this is going to fuck everything up.
And I think as a server, especially if you're like, God, my boss is a fucking raging boner, I think to really be empathetic and play empathetic to the allergy, because it's a fucking lawsuit waiting to happen if you're not empathetic and don't have, but to just be like, we are so concerned with your allergy that I am really, for your safety, going to recommend steering clear of that altogether. And let's go down this road.
But I want the walnut steak without walnuts.
I know. It's so, yeah. So, like, that, I think places like that do get a little red flaggy when suddenly it's like Gordon Ramsay screaming at you to, like, get lost and leave, you know.
Right.
Shut it down.
Back Kitchen Nightmares, I saw. I can't bring myself to watch that show. So on a little side note.
But if we are going to give, you know, for devil's advocate, right? In this nice, you know, mashed article, it's like the reason a lot of these people with, and it's usually men who have their egos tied to the restaurant, mm-hmm, but okay. Mm-hmm. But to be fair, the no substitution rules, it's not just about the kitchen efficiency, mm-hmm, which we were talking about. The chefs, again, ego tied to the restaurant, they are eager to preserve the authenticity of their painstakingly created dishes.
Totally. I get that.
And Los Angeles-based Animal, which is closing, by the way, RIP. So this article was a little bit older, but when people say, can you do a substitution? His response is, but would you ask Picasso to change his painting?
I mean,
I'm trying not to throw up in my mouth right now, but I am trying to, like, give credit to the art,
yeah,
and the heart and the sweat, totally, and the blood and the tears.
Totally. And
it's, look, just also like fucking chill, dude.
Yeah. It's like, but, you know, I think like a really streamlined dish that someone's worked on for years and is, yes, like renowned, right, is different than a like pick three in an omelet situation. You know what I mean?
Yes, it is. And, like, you should know the difference as a customer.
Correct.
You know,
but some people just don't give a fuck because they are, all they see is things for themselves. Yeah. That is the issue.
Yep. You know, so it's a tough world, because when you get the worst end of the spectrum, when you get the worst customer meeting with the most pretentious chef, that's when shit gets ugly.
Right. It's so true.
And I love that they pointed out the word hospitality means guest, but the word hostility means enemy in Latin.
That's amazing.
Right?
It's such a thin line. Oh my God. Oh my God.
Substitution. Mm-hmm. Subs are so crazy. They, mm-hmm, you know, I think, okay, so what we want to try and say is, like, to give advice, you know, to be as patient and empathetic as you can, but to guide with a firm hand as a server, especially if you're going to be a new server, mm-hmm, you know, and, mm-hmm, to just be like, if you're not sure, always just be like, let me check with the kitchen. Definitely go do pull that move, because they might tell you, you know, absolutely it's not happening, mm-hmm, and then go out with a different suggestion. Or whatever. But, like, if you really don't know the rules and your restaurant's unclear, always say, I can check with the kitchen for you.
Totally.
Take a minute to go back and cover your ass, cover it. Because you don't want to get someone sick, and you don't want to get yourself in trouble, so on and so forth. But as a customer, okay, let's talk about the language and the ways you could possibly get what you want when we're gatekeeping as servers, substitutions. I think to maybe start out, like, I've tried to be like, hey, I know this might sound annoying, but I have a thing, you know, just whatever. Come out of the gates being like, I really don't want to sound annoying. Mm-hmm. I think often I've done that before, mm-hmm, to ingratiate myself, mm-hmm, or at least be smart. Try and think. So a thing I do, right?
Trying to think of Brooke ordering a margarita at this moment.
Try and think of me right now. At this point, thank God you can just say skinny margarita.
Totally.
And then they make you exactly what, yes, I've always wanted.
Yes, we've come a long way.
Mm-hmm. But there's this happy hour too where they make vodka mules, but I don't drink vodka.
Right.
So I say, can you take the happy hour tequila? and make that a mule.
Of course.
And that they can do.
Yes. A that burro, if you will. Yes.
A burro. And it's a perfect substitution that is on the same price point. Mm-hmm. And that you don't like, I don't mean to be annoying, but you just kind of have to know your place, right? To be like, could I have the happy hour tequila substituted for the happy hour vodka?
Bar substitutions, I feel like.
Very different.
Yeah. I mean, and look, it has been a long time since I've been behind the bar with like all the beautiful mixology that's happening. So I do want to ask some people who I know have been in that world for a while, the craziest substitutions that they have gotten. And if you're bartending and making fancy drinks all the time, let us know. Like,
do you remember episodes from way back? I think Megan Gailey was on it when we had the Dirty on the Side lady.
Yes.
The Dirty on the Side.
Yes.
So it was like, I kind of forget the genesis of what that is, but it was like a woman who wanted all the dirty on the side.
Yeah, you get the martini and you want your dirty, you want your olive juice on the side, the dirty on the side, which I just went to Musto and Frank for Brian's birthday.
Okay.
And they'll bring you more olive juice on the side. They'll bring you more dirty on the side if you want it. Ooh. And you can kind of extra dirty up your drink if that's what you choose to
do. I think this lady had another layer that made her really nuts. So I'll have to go back and revisit.
But I mean, I definitely, people are just like a splash. I just want a splash of this. I think where people are just more out to get like extra booze in their drinks without having to pay any extra money more than anything.
And that's not a substitution. That's just called
etiquette.
You know, etiquette at the bar or whatever. So just overall, before we get into a quick list of amazing fucking annoying substitutions, it comes down to costs and it comes down to efficiency. That is very much the reason you may not be getting your way as a customer, because it comes down to keeping the entire restaurant happy, not just you. And so worst case scenario, change your order to something else that you don't have to fuck up into a deconstructed, unrecognizable version of the food. Or I think no one really gives you a whole lot of guff if you just ask if you could leave something off. And if they can't, they can't. So,
or just fucking pick it off yourself.
Pick it off, you baby. Anyways, so I cherry picked some really great customer substitution shaming from Reddit. Would you like to start out with a really good one?
Sure. Hi, I'd like to order the chicken Caesar salad, but can I sub chopped up hot dogs for the chicken?
and this is the thing too.
My mouth would drop the fuck open.
I mean. Way. How much do you want to bet there are no hot dogs on this menu, right? And
or on the kids menu, maybe there's a hot dog.
It doesn't. You know? So, and this is when people come in and they're like, "You're a restaurant. I'm sure you have hot dogs lying around." And it's like, "What the fuck are you talking about?"
Raise your hand if you want to try a hot dog Caesar salad.
Sean made me scrambled eggs with a chopped up kielbasa next to it the other day. It was not bad. Okay. So then someone came and she's like, "Hi, yes. I would love to try the beef tartare, but substitute chicken." And they said, no, we didn't make it.
What the actual fuck?
Hi, I'd love some salmonella and then try and sue you.
Mm. I mean, there are some places that do serve raw chicken, but that's like in other countries, here.
Yeah. Where? How? You can't serve people, it raw.
I think that there are some places that do raw chicken in like Japan it's like a delicacy dish and it's like, I don't know. It's a very, the chicken's probably killed right away. I don't know. You take your chances.
What the fuck?
There's a disclaimer on the menu, like at a sushi restaurant. Okay. Hi. I would like the hot cakes. Hold the syrup, but instead I would like tartar sauce.
I'm kind of on the fence. I feel like this one's just
like
gross.
A savory, because like, it'd be like okay.
But in terms of them, I think, you know, this person mistook the bad subs for gross people, mm-hmm. where it's just like, all right, you can hold the syrup and bring them a side of tartar sauce. That one I would do for someone, although I'd be barfing in my mouth.
I would be like, yeah, that's true.
This is the kind of thing that kills servers in the kitchen. Hi. Okay. So they say, one time a lady wanted a chopped salad, one of those chopped salads with 14 ingredients with everything on the side, meaning a plate of lettuce and 14 ramekins for each ingredient. And then she ate each one separately.
See, that's fucked up. Don't bring your neurosis into my workplace.
It's hard. I know that does sound like OCD.
Yeah.
And it's like, well.
holding for
Winnie hacking. All right. Oh, here's a bartending one.
Oh, Bartender made some person a Johnny Walker Blue and kombucha. They got two. And ugh.
They're that was great. I'll have another.
I had a tapacha drink yesterday with tequila, and that was delicious. And that's fine because tapacha is like a Mexican like kombucha almost, which like that was different. But like scotch mixed with anything, first of all. I just don't like scotch.
No.
Like really. I haven't gotten a nope. It's not there for me.
I told you.
Too peaty. Smells like vomit.
Mossy,
smells like bile.
Woody.
Mm-hmm.
It smells like drinking bad breath. Mm-hmm. So anyways. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and if you're gonna have it, no,
no, I mean, no. I've tried.
That's
I've tried
for sure.
I've let people try and convert me, and I'm like, but let it. Just put one ice cube into it. Let it really open up. I'm like, nope, still tastes like vomit. Speaking of the '90s, once again, here's another one. Had someone order a liverwurst and egg salad sandwich with horseradish, mustard, mayo, and onions on an onion bagel, heated. I personally delivered it and said, your fart sandwich, sir. I was in my early 20s, so no fucks given. The guy looked at me and said, hey, mate, don't knock it till you tried it. My coworker was a guest when I went back. Do you know who that is? No. Why? You just served Dave Matthews a fart sandwich.
Did this happen to us?
Would you say?
I looked back at him taking a bite. He gave me a thumbs up. I just stared. Not a fan of their music, but much respect for tackling such an unwieldy sandwich.
So now I can only think of is like all the fart sandwiches dung, like dropping onto the Chicago.
Yep, into the Chicago River, the tour boat.
Right. Okay. Lady orders a rosemary lemon drop. But can I have lavender syrup instead? Me, sure. That sounds delicious. Lady, and can you make it dirty, like with some olive juice? Me, I don't think. Lady, oh, and salt the rim with sugar, and the salt rim instead of sugar. Me, ma'am, that sounds lady. And then I want four olives for the garnish instead of the rosemary sprig. Me, ma'am, I don't really think you'll enjoy that combination. Lady, hey, who's the customer here? I've been drinking since before you were born. Anyway, guess who sent their drink back?
Also, yeah, if you ask for crazy substitutions and you hate it, yeah, that's on you.
Like, if you're going to suicide your own drink, you don't like it, you got to chug that shit down, bitch.
Yeah, I was like, you may have just enjoyed drinking the floor mat at the end of the shift. Maybe that's...
Yeah, let's just wring out the bar towel into your drink and see what you think of it. Mm. Now, that's a good drink.
Mm-hmm. Now, lastly, okay, so the poor kitchen staff at a brunch place I worked at, they were so over it that when I accidentally rang in pancakes plus crab, they didn't even question it. They just put full lump crab meat into pancake batter and served up those pancakes.
I mean, I would eat that.
Oh, God. Bless them and all of you for what you put up with, so on and so forth. And I would say brunch is probably the most notorious substitution.
Jesus Christ. I don't even want to talk about, like, now I feel triggered. Now I feel triggered.
Now I'm triggered.
We'll have to do another sub brunch. Yeah. Nope. I don't want to. All right.
That was
fun. I feel
fun.
Triggered already. Really fun episode. All right. Well,
guys, get at us with your annoying substitutions, mm-hmm. what you deal with mm-hmm. on a daily basis. You know, doesn't have to be a full story. Drop a few funny lines in our DMs. We're opening those back up for you. The lines are open.
The DMs are open. The Dumpkin wipes are ready to go. Let's do it. All right, guys. Yeah. Thanks for listening. Until next week. You know, Brooke, what we say at the end of every episode.
Godspeed.
And good to you.
Talk to you then.
Bye.
Have you ever wondered how to say good morning in Italian? Or what is goodbye in French? You can ask Alexa. Just say, what is happy birthday in German? Or how do you say hello in Japanese? Do you want to know how to say I love you in Spanish? Ask Alexa and start learning a new language today.